Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Luke chapter 2, and I want to read just a segment of this. If you're here on Christmas Eve, much of the Christmas story will be read through a couple of different people in different segments from a couple different Gospels. But I want you to look at Luke chapter 2. And why don't we start with verse 16. This is after the angels have showed themselves to the shepherds. And it reads like this: "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous. He was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ," or the Messiah, the Christ child. "Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel.'" I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the spirit of Christmas. And the spirit of Christmas, obviously we know that that is not some phantom. It is the Lord himself. He is the spirit of Christmas. I want you to look at this man, Simeon. You know, it's interesting that he was a man who, of course, was righteous and devout. We see that in the scripture, but it's interesting it says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and then the Spirit of the Lord revealed to him something, and then it says that he was led by the Spirit. I want us to look at those three things because those three things are very important in my life and in your life, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, that the Spirit of the Lord can reveal things to us, and that we should be led by the Spirit. And when we're led by the Spirit, we're to go, we're to do. And so I want us to just look briefly at this, because that is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Christmas. And I don't want us to confuse it with it's just about this child coming. And yes, it is salvation, but there is this ongoing salvation that we have, that we continue in this life and into eternity. And in the meantime, between here and eternity, there is a work of God's Spirit that needs to happen in my life, in your life, our lives. That there's a purpose for us. And that God can speak to us. God can speak to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I want you to know that God can speak to you." Now tell them, God knows your address. God knows your cell number. But he's not going to Facebook you. Tell them that. God's going to speak right to you. And he will reveal things to you. Here is this man, Simeon, who the Lord revealed to him that he would not pass from this life that he knew, this human life, until he beheld the Christ, that he would see the salvation of Israel, because he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it's wonderful that he, as he proclaims and prophesies, that he includes those who would come to believe in Jesus Christ, who are not Jewish but Gentiles, most of us in this room. It's interesting that he was led to go to the temple at a specific moment. It says he was led to go to the temple. It was at the moment where they were presenting Jesus. This man was in tune with the Lord. I want us to look at that in maybe our own life, this spirit of Christ that's supposed to live within us, this spirit of Christmas. It says a spirit is upon him. We can look through Old Testament and New about the Spirit of the Lord coming upon people. But I'd like us to look at the words of Jesus. Why don't you turn to Acts chapter 2. Sorry, let's start with Acts chapter 1. Remember, the Spirit of the Lord was upon Simeon. The Spirit of the Lord revealed something to Simeon. And the Spirit moved Simeon, led him. I want us to look at this, the Spirit upon him. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, so when they met together, Jesus and his disciples, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Thus, we're still here after December 21st. I'm not poking fun at that. What I'm telling you is nobody knows the day or the hour. Except the Father in heaven. And there will be those who say they come in his name or say they are him. Do not run off to see them, the scripture says. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. The spirit of Christmas, the spirit of Christ. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. If we were to look at Acts chapter 2, and at the beginning it talks about the day of Pentecost, the day that spirit was outpoured, the spirit of Christ was outpoured, and they began to prophesy, and they began to speak in tongues. They began to speak in another language that they themselves did not understand. That it was a language that the Spirit gave these individuals. They could still speak in their native language, but they could also pray in a language they did not know. It was a language of another people. In fact, if you look through the book of Acts, there were people present when they did this that said, how do these people know my language? And they're declaring God's wonderful works. The spirit of Christmas, we can get a little sentimental because we picture this baby and swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and there's, you know, the cow is behaving. And the barnyard animals that are there, they're all clean. You know. And Mary and Joseph are, you know, very content, and you know, they're happy, and you know, there's this great feast around them. It's just not that, you know, we get sentimental. We put things there that are not there. And I'm not trying to wreck the sentiment, but I want us to understand, and I don't want us to get caught up in just a day. Because for us as believers, every day is Christmas. Every day is the Spirit of Christ in our life, that the Spirit of the Lord can be upon us. It's interesting to me that as believers, that we can celebrate Christmas, and we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, a miracle, a supernatural work of God. And yet when we look at the Spirit of the Lord coming upon people, or the Spirit moving people, these divine acts of God, we kind of go, well, you know, I don't know. And yet no problem believing that a baby came from a woman who was a virgin. the supernatural acts of God, that the Spirit of the Lord could reveal to a man that he would not die until he's seen the Christ. That was God's individual promise to him. It was not a scripture that he could look back at where his name was in it and said, "On one day I will reveal to a man named Simeon." It was a revelation that came to a man who walked with God and held the promise. Because of the Spirit of the Lord, he can do that with people. Maybe you in this room, he's given you a revelation and a promise, not one that you conjured up, not one that you have imposed upon God, trying to hold him over a barrel to do your purpose and desire, but one where the Spirit came to you and revealed to you a word from him, a promise from him, an encouragement from him, something that he wants you to know. A revelation of who he is and of his Christ. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you receive power, his word said. We get tangled up about things like that. You say, how can you talk about Pentecost at Christmas? Because it's the spirit of Christmas. It's the spirit of Christ. It was about saving us and continuing to empower us to live for him and to do things that our flesh don't want to do. Our flesh, it needs to die, and yet the Spirit of Christ lives in us that gives us a desire to do his will and to do his purpose and to recognize him and do things that are impossible for us to do, but we move ahead anyhow. And as we step in faith and obedience to him, God provides and does the supernatural. It's interesting. In most cases, it's just simply obeying and showing up. It's obeying and showing up. It's obeying and showing up and doing the work and let God do his part. And he does the miracle. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and reveals to him. You know, when it talks about revealing the Christ to him, reminds me of one of Jesus' disciples in Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus is talking with his disciples. And he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they begin to converse. And they begin to tell Jesus what others are saying and who they think he is. And Jesus says, "Now, who do you think I am?" And Peter speaks. He says, "Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' reply is, "It is not by flesh and blood. It is not by, in other words, your own human resource that you have confessed this. But it has been revealed to you by my Father." By the Father, by God's Spirit. You see, it wasn't just by Peter's opinion, because Peter was with Jesus and heard Jesus and saw Jesus do some miracles. It wasn't about Peter saying, "Well, I've seen you do these things, so you know, you must be the Christ." No, it was a revelation of the Spirit of God to a man that caused him to confess. You see, our salvation is by faith. It is not by sight. It is by faith. It is by the Spirit of God revealing to you as a person in your spirit to believe upon Jesus Christ. This work of salvation, I'll just be honest with you, you and I are not good enough on our own to decide that Jesus is Lord. It is a work of God's Spirit in the life of a person that brings spiritual life and brings faith and brings belief It is not about what you see. It's not about walking into a church and say, well, they seem to be sincere. Well, that's on the checklist. Well, they seem to hold to the scripture. That's on the checklist. Things seem to kind of be in order. That's on the checklist. Well, I guess because of the checklist, I guess I'll believe in Jesus. That's having a good testimony, and God can use it. But it is about a person having a revelation of Jesus Christ to their own heart. You and I in this room, it's about the revelation that comes by God's Spirit into our life. This is Jesus is the Christ. Whether you have a hard time believing that the Savior was born of a virgin or you don't, it's about the revelation of God's Spirit that causes you to believe. I don't understand. I'll just be honest. I don't understand everything about God yet. But I don't have to understand everything about Him in my mind before I choose to believe, because my salvation is a work of faith, and it's a work of the Spirit that brings that faith, that brings revelation and surety and peace within us. There are so many things that God has done outside of my box. And I'm so glad, because my box could be very small. Because Alex, I'm not that smart. Our salvation is by faith. It's about believing in Him. Sure, things, our mind will grow in understanding, but as we believe in Him, we begin to understand and know more. See, the American way is, tell me everything so I can know everything and I can understand everything, and then I'll let you know whether I believe. It's all about the flesh. God has given us a mind that we need to understand, but salvation comes by the revelation of who Jesus Christ is to the heart and the inner person. Simeon was a devout man of faith, and the Spirit was upon him, and the Spirit revealed to him. Our salvation is a work of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of Christmas. It's the Spirit of the Lord that works within us. And it says that the Spirit led him to the temple, Simeon. It led him to the temple at the exact moment where they were presenting Jesus. It doesn't say that it was Simeon's day to work. It doesn't say that Simeon was scheduled for that day to do the work at the temple. It says the Spirit led him. I want you to know, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, and the Spirit of the Lord, you commit your way to Him and He brings revelation to you, I want you to know that He will lead you and move you. I mean, we know that in God, in Him we live and move and have our being. We know that's what the Scripture says in Galatians. We live and move and have our being in Him, but it is also this pulse and these momentary urges and the spontaneity to us, though God had it planned, to move us at a certain moment, to direct us at a certain moment, to be somewhere, to say something, to do something, or be somewhere and do nothing by His direction. And that He unfolds His glory and His purpose. Here's Simeon, man of faith, who the Spirit of the Lord was upon. God revealed something to him. And when the moment was right, the Spirit moved him, led him, and he followed. He obeyed. It doesn't say that he sat there and went, oh, why now? I'm not scheduled to be at the temple now. Not my duty. Not my time. It's not Sunday, right? Moved him. The Spirit moved him. He shows up, and there, this child You think it's the first child he's ever seen brought and being presented to the temple? No. But he sees this child, and he is quickened in his by the Spirit of the Lord within him to know that this child is the Messiah. This child is the Christ. It's a wonderful part and follow-up to what we call the Christmas story in Scripture, the Christmas account. But the spirit of Christmas in our life should be alive and moving and revealing and being upon us daily, weekly, monthly. What about the other 364 days a year when it's not leap year, right? What about those days? Can we have the Spirit of the Lord upon us? Can he reveal to us things that he wants us to do and purposes and maybe his seasons and times? Will we allow the Spirit of God to move us, direct us, steer us as we go through our day and our night? See, that's the living faith of a living church, a living Christ in his people. It's not just about Christmas Day. It's about living and allowing him to live in us with a freshness, a revelation, a power, a knowing something beyond any type of natural indicator. We know because he revealed it to us. I want to encourage you to move beyond. And when I say beyond, not that the Christmas story is trivial, but it is the beginning, it is the foundation of an ongoing life in the Spirit of Christ. A living church. I want you to know God can speak to you. He will speak to you his scripture and through scripture. But as you seek him, as you talk with him, as you listen to him, God can speak to you. He wants to speak to you. He will reveal things to you. He will never reveal things to you that are contrary to his word. I don't care what the voice sounds like. If it's outside his word, it goes against his word. It is not him. He will not deny himself. He will not go against himself. Listen, I know that, you know, in the American way, we cry for freedom and we cry for liberty. Listen, for those, the scripture says in Romans, those who are led by the Spirit are not under law. Do you know why it says that? Because those who are led by the Spirit recognize obvious sinful things in life and stay away from it. So when we stay away from it, we're not under the law, we are free. We are free to live up to the law. Yeah. That's why. It doesn't mean that Christ, you believe in him and now you can be some wild renegade doing your own thing and slapping God's name on it like you're holy. No. It is being led by his Spirit to live a life of the Spirit in rightness, in holiness, and in powerful demonstration. Doing his will and his purpose. With not your eye on the law, but your eye on the Spirit. Because the Spirit will not violate the law. It's about the fullness of Christ, that spirit of Christmas, living in us every day. Every day, as we're a mother caring for our children, and we are overwhelmed, and you've had enough. It is in that moment. Tony, great to see you. And your bride. great to see you too. But I just love seeing Tony. I do. You're a pleasant man. It's about being a father. And you're trying to provide and you're trying to protect. And you're trying to lead. The demands are a little overwhelming. And you don't have anyone to turn to. And you just, you know, it's like the family don't get it. They don't understand. It's in that moment will we be led by the Spirit. It's the moment where we walk into a moment of uncertainty. Going to meet family. Because one of your family members just lost a precious person to them to suicide. And what do you say? What do you do? You show up and you allow the Spirit of Christ to just be upon you. Not trying to share wisdom, not trying to give false encouragement and say nice things that aren't true so that they feel better. It's about just being a person who the Spirit's upon. And allow God to reveal Himself to broken people. See, that's the spirit of Christmas upon His people the other days of the year. I want to be part of the living church. I want to be a part of His living people. That royal priesthood where the Spirit of the Lord is not confined by my theology. Where the Spirit of the Lord is not confined by just my experiences this far in life. But where the Spirit of the Lord can reveal to me right doctrine, right theology, right practice. And I will allow Him to reveal it to me even when it's different than what I think or maybe what I've been taught or what I'm afraid of. That He could show me His glory. In His presence, and it could fill my life, that at a moment's notice, He could say something, or I could feel the quickening, and I could move and do what He calls and what He sends me to do. That's the living church. Listen, the next time you're walking up your driveway and you hear the voice that says, you know, I haven't really ever talked to my neighbor. I wonder if I should bring them over something for Christmas. Oh, I'm busy. I got lots to do, and I'm sure they have other people. Simeon didn't say, go to the temple now. Not right now. I'm in the middle of Facebook. I'm in the middle of PS3. I'm in the middle of chopping wood. My family needs. I'm working right now. Oh, Lord, I can't go over to the temple now. I'm tired. I've worked hard, you know that. Long, did a double shift. Whew, Lord. No, person of the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Christmas, where God has our attention and He is upon us. And He can reveal marvelous and wonderful things about Him, about times, about things to do, and the person to become. That's the spirit of Christmas.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.